No one in America is beyond the reach of the law, and the judicial branch of government exists as an independent entity whose role in the administration of justice cannot be compromised. Everyone is accountable, laws are just, the lawmaking process is transparent, and disputes are settled fairly without fear or favor. We've all grown up with these bedrock assumptions about the rule of law, but today we live with some uncertainty about them. Can these key principles survive a presidency that, in the minds of many, has shown little regard for them? Kelly Testy is a law professor who is delivering a free public lecture tomorrow on rule of law in Trumpian America, and she's with us in our studio. Hi, Kelly.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
Thanks for coming in.
It's my pleasure.
Let's get a working definition of rule of law before we decide whether we have it or not. What would that be?
I thought you did a great job on that introduction, but essentially it means that we have a constitutional democracy where we've agreed that no one is above the law, that we use law to resolve our disputes, not military force or not the whims of any one person like a monarch or a dictator, and that that system is what guarantees our freedoms and promotes democracy.
And we're all subject to it, and I mean subject as in obedient. Right.
That's right. Absolutely. And we may have different views about what the law should contain or how it should be applied in a particular case, but we are in the fundamental agreement, regardless of our political party, that law is what governs our society.
Even if we don't like it. And if we don't like it, what can we do?
If you don't like it, that's where law kicks in, and there are mechanisms to change it, either through Congress, through the courts, administrative agencies, many options, but it is within the system of law that those disputes would be resolved and those policy decisions made.
Is that system threatened in your view?
We have a lot of cause for concern right now. This has been an unusual year of first year of President Trump's term. And part of the reason I'm teaching this course this week is to help the students understand when is it actually a threat to the rule of law. And when is it merely perhaps a political difference of opinion? Mm-hmm. But there have been a number of things that have raised, I think, legitimate questions in the mind of the public about the health of the rule of law in America right now.
What do you consider the most significant examples of that?
There are a number of examples. You know, I think of the firing of Comey. I think about the term so-called judge, which was a reference that I think really undermined the respect for the judiciary, which is fundamental for the rule of law.
Wasn't that when the Ninth Circuit ruled on the immigration decision the first time?
It was indeed, absolutely. And, you know, the independence of the judiciary is a very fundamental part of the rule of law. And my hope is that all of our leaders in our nation would signal their support for the rule of law and their understanding and commitment to an independent judiciary.
Presidents have fallen afoul of the rule of law in the past. I would suspect that Richard Nixon would be maybe the most prominent example. How did that work out?
Well, those mechanisms that law contains helps to resolve those issues. And I think for those of us who have concern, one of the protections that we have is that we have a number of systems that do help check executive power. It isn't that the president doesn't have power, but there are limits on that power. Mm-hmm. And those are fairly well recognized limits. So I am hopeful that the other branches of government, together with what's sometimes called the fourth estate, the press, can assist us in finding our way toward respect and a very healthy approach to the rule of law in America.
Well, just making that comparison maybe to Nixon's America, the fourth estate was a lot more powerful in Nixon's time than it is now. It hadn't been as widely discredited, right?
True. There was, I think, in many ways you might say there was a more vigorous respect for finding the truth and really using reason to get to the bottom of things rather than just proceeding in sound bites or, as some call it today, fake news. And so that's going to be important for us. You know, people have to care about learning the facts, and they have to believe that facts matter.
When you talk to law students about things like the current administration, do today's law students remember that And during, for example, the Nixon administration, we had an attorney general who later went to jail, that you know, some of the top members of the president's staff later did time, that the president himself only escaped criminal prosecution by being pardoned by his successor. Are they aware of that, law students today?
I've tried to help our students understand that this isn't the first time we've had challenges to the rule of law, and it won't be the last.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that on the whole, today, law students vary in terms of their understanding of history. And part of my goal in teaching this course is to help the students have a little bit of a longer-term view. You know, it's easy for them, they're busy in law school, to just be focusing upon what's right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's very healthy for them both to learn what's come before and to learn some of the mechanisms that they may have some control of in order to make some real change that they think is important.
Well, for example, you know, just last week the president said we got to take a look at libel laws.
Right.
Having been, you know, distressed by the publication of a book about him that whose content he didn't like. You know, do your students, for example, know what the limits of libel laws are, what the current laws on the books are?
I think they're getting there. You know, the class I have right now, it's a terrific group at the Richardson School of Law, and they range from first-year students all the way through third year. And the 1L students, as we call them, are just now learning some of the basics. But I think they all have a good grasp of the fact that there are mechanisms for changing laws. You know, if there's a feeling that libel law should be changed, then law provides a pathway to figure out how those changes might be made. But it shouldn't be up to one person to just say, I hereby declare the law is now changed.
Well, if, you know, if that one person is the chief executive, and now I'm going all the way back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was accused of packing the Supreme Court in order to suit his agenda. And the presidential power in that realm, whom he appoints to the Supreme Court, that extends pretty far into the judiciary.
It does indeed, and that's something we're seeing right now. Is there's a very fast pace right now in Washington, D.C. for federal judicial appointments, and it's something that, again, I'm hopeful that there is a process for making sure those appointments are done well. And it's critical they are done well because they're lifetime appointments.
Yeah.
And I would like to see just a little more deliberation, a little more review of each candidate to make sure that he or she is the kind of judicial temperament, the kind of knowledge and background that can serve our nation well.
Well, we've seen that accelerated pace, and we had one high-profile withdrawal from consideration. But at the same time, there are a great many judicial vacancies on the federal side. And there's a lot of momentum toward filling them with whomever. And as you said, once it's done, it's done.
Once it's done, it's done. And my concern, too, is I've always believed that, you know, law is there for all of us, regardless of political party. You know, there are ways to resolve our differences of view about policy direction. But we need great lawyers in law. And so that's something that we need to work on, because respect for the judiciary, respect for the rule of law, is fundamental for our society. And when that fades away, that puts everyone at risk.
Does in states that elect their judges, is that respect eroded by the political process, in your view?
In my view, I think election of judges is problematic. It's very hard to be independent when there are elections, and especially in our current environment when you see a lot of outside money coming into states to help candidates on all sides. You know, the advantage of an appointment is that it is supposed to be removed somewhat from the political process. I hope we can continue to understand that there is a difference between law and politics and take a little bit of a step back and blending those together in the way that we've seen in the last number of months.
Well, I suspect that the law students that you teach, Kelly, will be kept busy in the decades to come.
I think they will.
Thanks
absolutely.
Very much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me in.
Kelly Testy is the president and CEO of the Law School Admission Council, a nonprofit that provides products and services for the law school admission process. She's delivering a free lecture on rule of law in Trumpian America tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. at the University of Hawaii at Manoa's William S. Richardson School of Law. And you can learn more about it on the Conversations Facebook page.